Hey everyone, welcome back to Passive Income Pilots, to another week of financial education. We had a down week last week because Ryan and I have been, hey, newsflash, a little bit busy. I don't know if you've noticed.
We've been buying deals. Well, you know, what's so interesting is that we were able to partner together and we were able to do a Passive Income Pilot share class to help close our storage deal in Houston. And by the way, if you're listening and you still want to participate in that, there is still some room in that deal, but we're actually having a bus tour this Saturday in Houston, and we're going to take people around and you can see the properties, educate, meet the tour and all that. Tate, you're doing a weekend this weekend too with your investors. Tell the group about your thing. And you know, of course, it's like we don't hang out and plan together. We just plan something not knowing on the same.
yeah. We're doing different things in different cities. You know, if you came to the last bus tour, it was a lot of fun. You guys are doing a similar thing as well as dinner this time to celebrate the closing of the asset. Congratulations, you guys. And to anybody who's listening, who's in that deal, huge institutional quality self-storage portfolio down in Houston. We love it and excited to be in the deal. Well, on the turbine side, we're doing our inaugural investor weekend in Canyon City, Colorado. It's Saturday and Sunday, the 20th and 21st. We're going to check into the St. Cloud Hotel in downtown Canyon City, have a dinner and a happy hour with our investor group. We're going to have Mark Fleming there, our oil and gas advisor, Jonathan Sims, who is the one of the GP team representatives for the 4 Mile Ranch project. And so lots of interesting people there. And the next morning, we're going to play 4 Mile Ranch Golf Club, our golf course. And in the afternoon, we're going to see the grand opening of the Mitikas factory. We're going to have an open bar and presentation and food and drinks. And it'll be a lot of fun. So our investors are going to be able to really touch and feel two of arguably our most interesting projects, you know, little outside the fairway of a normal real estate deal for both of these things. So it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm sorry that we can't collaborate on this because you're going to be in Houston and we're going to be in Colorado.
Totally. And I tell you what, if you're a pilot and you got Saturday off and you're listening to the show and you're not either going to Houston on my bus tour or to Colorado to golf with Tate, you're missing out.
That's right.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll.
You know, Tate, that brings up like an interesting point. You know, I think networking is so important. And I think there's, you know, COVID killed a lot of that. People think they can network over Zoom and it slowly started to become a thing. Can you think back, like when was the first real estate, you know, because people ask me a lot, like, hey, how did you go from pilot to $1 billion of real estate?
Right.
And all the self-storage and 200 person team. And people probably ask you all that all the time. But like, I feel I credit a lot of what I did to going and networking and getting out there and seeing things and talking to people. And even if I picked up like one thing, it was like totally worth the weekend. Right. And, you know, you're going to educate your investors this weekend. We're going to educate ours. And, you know, we welcome pilots to both. And we've made it so, you know, heck, we can fly around, go do whatever we want. But what was that first conference or meetup you went to that really kind of sparked your ability to kind of get into this space?
You know, this is such a good question. I want to spend the next 10 minutes or so of this episode talking about in-person stuff, because the in-person, the camaraderie around it, the networking is so critically important. You got to be around people who are doing what you want to be doing. You know, you can't learn to fly an airplane by listening to podcasts. You got to get out there and you got to hang out at the airport and you got to rub shoulders with people who are flying airplanes if that's what you want to do. And the same thing with making money. You got to get in the room with people who understand alternative investing, the tax code, who know how to make money. And the catalyst for me was back, 2016, 17, I finally got on a plane. And I went by myself to Denver to the best ever real estate conference. And I knew nobody. And I didn't know, you know, I'd listened to a ton of podcasts. We can get into that. And I'd read a ton of books. But it wasn't until then that I started surrounding myself with other people who were doing it. And who were like, oh, I got a lender here. You want to here? I'll connect you with my lender. Or like, oh, I've got a great broker. He's got some great rental properties he might be able to connect you with. And all of a sudden, those were the first dominoes that started falling.
Yeah. I mean, your network is your net worth, right? And people Absolutely. Say that all the time. Like if you don't have a network of great people, then you don't, you're not going to be able to grow your net worth. And, you know, maybe you will, but it's going to be, it might take longer and be more difficult to do that.
And that's really what we're trying to start to foster here at the Passive Income Pilots community, is not just to be a radio show, for lack of a better word, where it's just, you know, one directional communication. We've started the Facebook group so that there's a little bit of a forum. And of course, we've started some in-person stuff. We went to Houston, we did the bus tour, you know, for Turbine Capital. I mean, we have started doing happy hours and now we're doing these investor weekends and things like that. We'll probably do two of these per year moving forward. So at least we can help to foster some of that community, but it's worth it to, you know, take a flyer on a conference. I know that you, Spartan, goes to a lot of the Anderson conferences, the tax and legal summits that are quarterly. Yeah. I've talked to a number of our investors who attend those that get a lot out of it. What are your thoughts? I mean, what was the catalyst for you in terms of getting the in-person stuff?
Yeah. So I was, you know, I just started doing real estate deals and made every mistake possible. And I wish I would have gone to a conference sooner, because for me, it's not about what I learn from the speaker on stage. It's sometimes about the people asking the questions and going, ooh, that's a good question. I wouldn't have thought to ask that question when they're there. Or when I'm in the hallway and I'm talking to somebody and they share their perspective with me, and I'm like, I wouldn't have got that on the webinar replay. Right. I wouldn't have been in the hallway with a guy who went through, or a gal who went through what I'm going through or what they went through, that gives me that shared perspective. So I'm a big fan of in-person hallway conversation, water cooler conversations, right?
I think you can always tell, you know, someone's experience level by the ratio of time they spend in the ballroom versus the hallway. Because you know, your first real estate conference, you're in the ballroom for every session, like it, furiously taking notes, you know. Yep. And, you know, by year like five or six, you don't even go to any of the talks. You're just in the hallway talking shop with other operators.
Yeah. My partner goes to the self-storage trade shows. They have them in Vegas every year. And a lot of the business gets done in the hallway with the experienced people. And then, of course, people go in and take the educational tracks and learn about self-storage and all that. But, you know, a lot of deals happen in the hallway. Brokers, lenders, selling part, whatever it is, investors are in the hallway. So
absolutely.
I think for me, it's like, you know, what's that Muhammad Ali quote? You know, if you stopped changing your perspective 30 years ago, that's when you died or something. I don't know. I'm butchering the quote, but it's like the day you stop learning and growing is the day that you start getting old, right? And so stay young and have an open mind and keep learning. Because I think that's why, you know, like, what's the trick to this? Like, it's the mindset that you put yourself into to continue learning and growing and looking for places to exchange information. I mean, one thing that I do today is I've joined a global organization called YPO, which is Young Presidents Organization. So people like me who own businesses, and I network with people who are out there making mistakes, learning, leading, succeeding. And I, you know, iron sharpens iron. They're in completely different industries, but I actually get a lot of credit for that. And so I think, as a pilot, it's kind of like, okay, so what do I do? How do I like network with people? Like, and my answer is, in any way you can, a great place to start is with people who have podcasts, right? You listen, it's easy, right? It's on your phone. What do you want to learn about? You go to your phone, you open your podcast, you search about it, and there's a thought leader about the show, about the topic that you're trying to listen to. You listen to that and you're like, wow, I like this guy. Oh, he's got a podcast or the conference coming up, and you go and you kind of network. And a lot of people that listen to that show and have the same kind of mindset are going to be at that event. Right. So, you know, when Tate and I mean, this isn't just an advertisement for this weekend, but, you know, it's like you're going to go to this, you know, you're going to go to Tate's investor weekend or my bus tour this weekend, and you're going to be around people who have the same sort of eagerness to do what we're doing. And we'll put a link in the show notes to both events. So, you know, if you want to RSVP, if you're closer to Colorado or Houston, you know, those are two options.
Absolutely.
And yours is free, right? I mean, do you even pay for it? I mean, maybe you got to pay for your hotel or something, but
you got to pay for your hotel. So the beautiful Hotel St. Cloud, which is in downtown Canyon City, just opened after being renovated after I mean, it's just gorgeous. They brought this historic hotel back to life and it's beautiful.
Nice.
We're going to take care of happy hour and dinner for our investors. You just got to book your hotel. That's it. We're taking care of golf.
We're not even, you don't even have to pay for it.
We own the golf course. So it's free golf and free food down at the Mitikas grand opening. So pilots love free food, you know?
And free golf too. I mean, shoot, maybe
there are going to be some heavy hitters there. I mean, we've got, you know, I mean, Mark Fleming, Jonathan Sims, we've got some, I'm not going to name the names, but we have some pretty heavy hitters from the Eden Group, from the Mitikas side who are very well known and established. So
love it.
You know, again, you're rubbing shoulders with people who, you know, forget about their net worth. It's more about their mindset and their network. Totally. And you want to plug in with that. You know, I want to pivot to another boxing quote from Tyson, and that is that everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. And I want to ask you, what was the difference between, you said before we hit record, you've listened to hundreds of podcasts and I have as well. What did it feel like going from listening to jumping into the ring?
Yeah, it felt great. I mean, you know, initially, so I have a quote, right? So Ernest Shackleton, if you guys have read that book, such a great book. And it's about his expedition across Antarctica with, you know, a crew, one of the first explorers to do that. And, you know, he had there's an urban legend, right? And this is about me taking action. There's an urban legend. And it says that he had a men wanted sign, a help wanted sign, right? It's men wanted. And it said, for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in the event of success, right? He basically set the bar terribly that, like, hey, if you're basically going on this mission with me across Antarctica, you're going to die and you're probably not going to make it back. And all you're going to get is honor and recognition if you make it back. And anybody else who had attempted that mission had said, hey, it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be easy. It's going to be fun. You're going to make all this money and you're going to be great. And, you know, I rewrote, you know, me going out and failing on deals and losing money and time and frustration, right? I wrote this, help, you know, real estate wanted, right? You want to get into this game. Here's my help wanted ad for the thing. Ready for it? I rewrote it. I said men and women on this one. So men and women wanted for an emotional journey, negative pay, loneliness, self-doubt, blood, sweat, tears, and increased risk. Becoming profitable is doubtful. And as a leader, you'll always eat last. And that's my help wanted ad. So if you're looking to get into real estate, that's my warning to you. So you're going to go out. You know, I had this big vision. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. If you haven't read that book, it's amazing. It'll put you into the right mindset. It'll show you that as pilots, we're trading our time for our money. And we're not having our money work for us, you know, as, you know, what's the famous quote? Like, you know, if money doesn't work for you, you'll work for money until you die.
That's Warren Buffett. Yeah. If you don't find a way to make your money work for you, you're going to work till the day you die.
That's it. And so you read this Rich Dad, Poor Dad book, and it really frames that perspective. And then I read his cash flow quadrant, and it was like, okay, I'm in the E quadrant where I go out and fly airplanes for money. I exchange my time for money. And then I was like at a consultant for the FAA and I was in the self-employment bucket, which I was still exchanging time for money. And I thought, I want to be an investor, which is on the other side of the quadrant where my money works for me and I'm in the lowest tax bracket, or a business owner, which is what we both became, right? Where you can become truly wealthy. And so I said, I did what everybody does. And I ran out as fast as I could and bought a single family home. And I got this crazy idea, like, hey, I'm going to go buy these single family homes in all of my layovers. So that way, hey, I might be exchanging my time for my money, but at least I have this investment that I can attend to as well in my layovers. And, you know, it was a disaster because I had no team. I didn't work with the right people. I had this, you know, I believed anything that people told me because I listened to it on a podcast and then it was like, oh yeah, I heard that. Yeah. You get the Section 8 tenant in there. It'll be great. Until they ruin your place, you know, and until the government actually pulls your Section 8 check because they come and inspect your place and they pull your certification because you had 30 things wrong that you didn't know you had wrong when you bought the house, right? And all these things go wrong. And the worst thing you can do is stop because it was hard or because it didn't work out. The, you know, and it's like the whole visual of like you're mining for gold and you're mining in a tunnel and you're chipping away and it's really hard and you're about to quit and turn around and you're just inches from actually hitting gold. Like right. That is this in a nutshell. And sometimes you just got to keep going and it sucks. And I like to give people that warning that it's going to be that way. And that team becomes everything. Your partners come everything. People become everything. You cannot lone wolf this thing. I've always had partners. You know, I have a partner in my self storage business. Tate's my partner on the podcast. Yep. You know, you can go through this with great people.
Absolutely.
And, but you're going to make mistakes and you're going to fail and you're going to lose money. And I think you just got to be ready for it. So
you got to be ready for it. So yeah, I'm going to pick up that ball right where you left off and come back to that Mike Tyson quote. You know, you can't sit in the grandstands and just be a spectator. If you want to get in the game, if you want to build wealth, you want to invest in real estate, you got to take action sometime, and you have to be willing to break stuff. I got something to celebrate. I just closed on my sixplex in South Carolina. I just sold it. I couldn't be happier. I'm like a boat owner that just sold their sailboat.
Day you bought that thing and the day you sold it.
Oh my God. I am so happy to have that thing off my books. That thing has been a headache since day one, but I was the same. It was like, I bought the single family home and then I went up to some multifamily, and I was looking back, I was reminiscing at the photos just yesterday with my wife, Lucy, and looking at, you know, us like walking that property when I first got it. And this was well before I started Turbine Capital and well before I really started knowing my stuff in real estate. And I just remember, I'm looking at these photos and I'm like, man, I didn't know anything back then. I didn't know what to look for. I didn't know. I spent $60,000 renovating one of those units. I mean, that's like three times what I should have spent. But I wouldn't be where I am today if I wasn't willing to just spend that money. Now, I still made money on the deal, but you got to be willing to just expend time, money, energy, make mistakes. It's not the end of the world. You know, I see people sometimes say, oh, I don't know if I want to spend like that kind of money on a CPA. It's like, hey, unless you're willing to, you know, invest in yourself and invest in your team and your own education, you know, you're not going to get further along than where you are today. You got to be willing to get in the ring, get punched in the mouth, and then come back for coaching. Say, okay, what, how did that go wrong? You know, and maybe you engage with a tax professional who you end up not liking, not getting along with, but that leads to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. You learn something along the way. You say, I like the way that they did this, but I didn't like how they communicated here. Now, the next time you go and look for a professional to add onto your professional bench, you know that those are your criteria where you didn't before. And yeah, maybe it cost you a few extra grand, but in the grand scheme of things, you're going to become so much more sophisticated and so much more just well armed with it, with your network and your knowledge, that you're just going to be able to move so much faster and so much farther.
You know, Tate, you said something about being in the ring, right? You know, the man in the arena, you know, famous poster that you see, famous quote that you see.
We both have that on our wall.
Yeah, thanks to Byron.
That's right.
You know who? You know, it's interesting. I'll pull an analogy. I don't know if it's a good one or not, but you know, if you're the man in the arena, if you're in there and you're buying deals, you're doing real estate, you're taking risks, you're going to conferences, you're training yourself, you're trying to educate, you're the man in the arena. And think about sports players who are the men and women in the arena, right? They're down there. They're focused, right? They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're listening to their coach. They're listening to their teammates. They're going to practice, right? Who are they not listening to? The fans.
The audience.
The people and the fans are going to be the loudest, though. They're going to boo you. They're going to cheer you on. They're going to be on your side. You know, when you're Ben Johnson and you're the offensive coordinator of the Lions, they're your, you know, you're the best. And when you become the head coach of the Bears, you know, they boo you when you come out, you know, in Ford Field, right? And here's the thing. If you listen to those people, imagine if LeBron James listened to his fans and didn't focus on the game. I mean, he would have quit he would have quit a long time ago, right? If you listen to the haters. And so that's how this is. It's no different. You get into the arena and people you fly with are going to say, oh yeah, Johnny, did this and, ended up being a thing and, he didn't get his money back or whatever. And you really just kind of got to go and get experience and armor yourself with information on your own. Otherwise, you're not, and so leveling up.
And surround yourself with people who are in the game. If you're sitting in the audience and you're talking to another audience member about how to play the sport, it's not relevant. And what you just said, it's like you might be flying with somebody who goes, oh no, that sounds risky, because they don't know anything about it. You got to surround yourself with other people who are in the game and understand the game, who can say either, with merit,
right,
I don't know, that doesn't sound so good. Or
yeah,
that sounds super interesting. Tell me more.
Or is productive. Like if somebody says, hey, you shouldn't buy that house or that rental.
Why?
Right. And if they kind of say, well, I looked in the loan agreement and, I looked at I looked at six comps and here's what's trading and here's what the rents are and here's why you're like, okay, fine. That's constructive. But if it's because Billy Bob lost money on real estate 15 years ago, and it's just fodder. Right. And so I just say, seek to get educated. And just continue learning and growing. Okay, so you went to conferences and you did these things and you listened to a lot of podcasts. And I'd imagine like there's a really good book called, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, right? Like the people that got you here, the podcast, the learning, the education got you here, but it won't get you there, right? So you've continued to like aspire, you've started a big fund. You do all kinds of different asset classes. Like what's your today listening? Like where are you tuning in? Where are you continuing to sharpen the axe today?
That's a great question. I'm very lucky to have an incredible network of people around me, yourself included. Ryan, you're not only a colleague, you're also a mentor. You're also a friend. And we have a great relationship. I was just in Breckenridge last ski season with the Frasers and Jim Mafuccio, who are incredible.
Yeah, smart guys.
Spent a weekend skiing with them. I think that as you progress, you're right. Your network evolves, and I think that we're both constantly evolving in terms of the people that we're hanging out with and the things that we're learning. We're stepping into a new echelon in our business that's requiring, new SEC guidance and, a whole new set of regulations and we're seeking counsel on that, which is expensive, very expensive. And, you just have to be willing to invest in yourself. And no matter where you are in your journey, it doesn't matter whether you're just got out of flight school and you're at your first airline job and you don't even own, your first real estate asset yet. That's fine. Surround yourself with some people, go to some local RIA networks and go down to Houston, come out to Colorado, meet us,
We're giving you a free option here, right? So, not to keep beating on that. Right. Yeah.
Surround yourself with some people who are doing it. And then of course, most people likely don't want to work 70 hours a week like Ryan and I do. We work a lot, and most people are not willing to work as hard as Ryan Gibson and Tate Duryea. I'll tell you that right now. I don't think I've ever seen anyone work as hard as Ryan. And
well, thank you, sir.
I'm right there behind you. I'm not quite. Ryan's up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning grinding almost every day. And I'm right there behind you, buddy.
Yeah.
Most people aren't willing to do that. Most people don't aspire to be, to build something that grand that is going to require quite that much of them. But for those of you out there who do, as you get further up that mountain, your network will evolve accordingly.
Yeah. And for those who don't want to do that, that's why we created our respective businesses.
Right. Exactly.
When I got sick of the single family rentals, I was like, I just want to have real estate in my portfolio. Yep. not a REIT, because a REIT is not real estate in your portfolio. It's a publicly traded company that you got a piece of, right? It goes up and down. It's subject to speculation. I'm talking real estate, physical real estate in my portfolio to generate passive income. And what I realized buying those rental properties is that the ROI of my life was absolutely cratering, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. But I was like, there's so many pilots, doctors, lawyers, high net worth people, high income earners that want real estate in their portfolio, but they don't want to go through what I'm going through right now. So that's why Tate started Turbine Capital. That's why I started Spartan Investment Group, because we wanted to provide passive income opportunities through real estate to people like us who wanted that passive income, but didn't want to go run around and try to find every property under the sun. And, you know, we've made all kinds of mistakes. You know, it's funny, like, you know, people ask me like, what's going on? You know, what do you deal with day to day? And it's like, I deal with a lot of problems day to day, people quitting, having to fire people, you know, insurance claims, legal, tax, investors. I mean, it's a huge enterprise, and it's all set up and in jest of providing these opportunities. Tate does the same thing. Tate, what was kind of the spark to go the fund model, right? Because I just do self-storage, right? I only self-storage. But Tate is like everything else, right? He's the multifamily, he does oil and gas, he does all kinds. What was kind of that spark to say like, hey, I want to be diversified across? Because a lot of funds don't do that. I mean, they kind of just stick to multifamily or something like that. It's pretty neat what you do.
Thanks. Well, yeah. I mean, kudos to you, because when we work with specific groups, we want hyper focus on whatever it is they're doing. But Turbine Capital was created in the image of what I wanted out of for myself. I was in a position where, you know, I'd bought the single family homes. I'd bought the multifamily. I realized this sucks. There's not enough. You know, I make too much money as an airline pilot for it to be worth it for me to fly to a different state to manage this sixplex. There's not enough zeros behind this. Instead, it makes more sense for me to pick up double time and funnel that money into a limited partner position with other people. Well, when I started investing as an LP many, many years ago, I realized, hey, I don't have to just invest with multifamily. I can invest in all sorts of stuff, because that's a wonder of being an LP. If I wanted to do what Ryan does on a day-to-day basis, it would take me 10 to 15 years to build a replica company.
Which I'm 11 years in.
There
right?
we go.
Spartan's been around for 11 years now. Yep.
Exactly. It would take that long. And to be honest, if you wanted to pivot from storage into, let's say, medical office, it wouldn't take 11 years, but it would take some time to build those relationships within 100%. The medical office space. So what Ryan does is Spartan is a vertically integrated firm. It means that they have everything is self-storage through and through. So you guys are consummate experts. You have relationships with the brokers. You have self-storage specific underwriting models and teams. You have self-storage specific regional managers and boots on the ground. You have self-storage construction specific construction teams. When I built Turbine, I said, I don't want to be vertically integrated. I want to be horizontally integrated. And so what we do is we identify macroeconomic trends. We assemble best-in-class teams, and then we create investor-friendly structures. So we are on the capital side of things, and we go out, we find the best possible deals we possibly can. Let me say that again. We find the best deals we possibly can, and we create investor-friendly fund structures around them. So we're able to participate in industrial, self-storage, multifamily, oil and gas, debt, all of these different areas, because we partner with just consummate experts in each one of these verticals. So we're out there working round the clock, pounding the pavement, bringing on advisory board members, and, you know, doing the due diligence and the homework and creating the structures around all of these things. So it really came from, I created the company that I wish existed for myself. That's really the long and short. I said, I want to invest with this firm, but it doesn't exist specifically for airline pilots. So yeah. I went out and built it.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And I think, you know, I think what's been fun is, you know, when we first started, there wasn't a pilot podcast that talked about this kind of stuff. It did, you know, there wasn't really any guidance. You're sort of finding it on your own, but there are, like, this isn't the end all be all. Like, I mean, if you found this podcast, great, welcome. I hope you listen to every episode. But the reality is like there's so many niches down. Like if there's a lot of self-storage podcasts you can listen to. There's a lot of multifamily podcasts you can listen to. Yeah. You can go and find information about oil and gas, right? You can do all these things and learn about it. And I actually encourage people to do that. You know, I mean, if you're going to passively invest in something, you don't have to become the expert to do it, but you should have the expertise to kind of become familiar with what you're doing. And I think that's what's kind of interesting about alternative investing is that you can actually kind of learn a little bit about it versus like a stock. I mean, yes, you learn about the company and read the annual reporting and the quarterly reporting, and that's great. But I mean, learning about a business or a trade, it's kind of fun. The journey is kind of fun. The journey of learning is kind of fun along the way. The networking you do and the people you meet is kind of, it's like the, not the journey, that's not the destination, it's the journey. That's how it's been for me. It's like I've really built my life around a lot of great people that I've come into contact with along the way. So.
Oh, yeah. And one of our five core values at Turbine Capital is camaraderie. I think it's so important.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Stewardship, excellence, transparency, adaptability, and camaraderie. And camaraderie really rings true to me because that means so much to airline pilots, pilots in general. You know, it's part of the fabric of the aviation community is the camaraderie around it. And so, you know, that's one of our most important values. And so come to some of these meetups, whether it's this weekend or sometime in the future. We would love to, you know, meet more of you. Hopefully we'll have the opportunity to put together larger groups in the future, larger get-togethers. And honestly, I mean, like you said, Ryan, this is really the first show that aggregates information like this specifically for the pilot community. And that's why we're not focused. This isn't a multifamily show. This Right. isn't a self-storage show. This is an everything show that all revolves around pilots, right?
Right.
Like that is the thread that holds everything together is that this is for the aviation community. And so we're trying to expose our listeners to as broad a range of financial topics, you know, a little bit more advanced financial topics, but a broad range of them.
Yep. And I'll leave an open invite. Anybody who's got a Seattle layover, my office is 20 minutes from the SeaTac airport. So come see us, you know, come have a cup of coffee and, you know, see the studio. Also open invitation every quarter. Tate mentioned it. Anderson Advisors puts on a tax and legal planning workshop. I get like 40 free tickets to it every quarter. So if you want a free ticket, just email me. I'll send you a ticket. I'll put up my email in the show notes, but it's ryan@spartan-investors.com. And, you know, join our Facebook community. We have a Facebook group. There's some chat threads going on. Sometimes there's some spammers in there, but we do a really good job for the most part, kicking them out. And so if you join, please just say that you're from an airline and, you know, make sure we're vetting people as they come in. But, you know, there's a lot of good conversations happening, networking online. But, you know, with that, I really appreciate everybody kind of tuning in and listening and get out there and get some education for effective action. And get started. That's all. That's all my departing advice.
This is episode 126. Here's the next 100, Ryan. Look forward to seeing everybody next week.
Take care, guys.